We at Inner Picture Stories are delighted to present the IPS t-shirts. T-shirts that change the world. Not only does each t-shirt design tell a story and carry a message of light waiting to be spread in your life and to those around you, but with each purchase, you also get to choose the cause you would like to support where parts of your money will go. The causes that these shirts support vary from the environment to animals to those struggling with mental health issues, suicidal thoughts, loneliness, and diseases such as cancer. For further information about the IPS t-shirts and about the good causes you can support, simply go to innerpicturestories.com/shirt and take a look at these stunning t-shirts that can change the world. Welcome to the Inner Picture Stories podcast. My name is Jelis Vaas, your host and the founder of Inner Picture Stories, the educational platform on life. I hereby invite you to come on a journey with me. In each episode, we will dive into the life of an inspiring person seeking lessons of wisdom about life and the world we live in. Answers that you can take away and use in your own life. It's true that no one ever said life would be easy, but it's also true that no one ever said you had to do it alone. So get ready and let the journey begin. Hello there, everyone. This is your host, Jelis Vaas, speaking. I hope you're all doing well, and welcome here to another 5-bullet-point episode of the Inner Picture Stories podcast. If you are new here to the show, first of all, welcome. Good to have you here on board. And to just fill you a little bit into what those 5-bullet-point episodes are all about, well, first of all, they can be used as a quick booster lessons of wisdom, reminders, and insights. I myself use them many times just for that reason. Or they can be used as a filter episode to help you find the right episode for you at this point in your life. Each 5-bullet-point episode consists of the 5 bullet points our previous guests shared on the show, along with a small description of what the full interview consists of and who it is most suitable for. This way, as the episode list of the Inner Picture Stories podcast grows, you don't endlessly need to search for the right episode you are currently in need of, but you can simply listen to the 5-bullet-point episode to find the right one. Now, after that little refresher, I hope you enjoy this new 5-bullet-point episode of episode 6 to 10. Our past 5 guests we have had were just tremendous people, which I'm truly grateful for having had on the show. So enjoy their lessons and the takeaways. Ever wonder what life would be like in a monastery? Muni Natarajan, an ex-monk who lived for 37 years in a monastery, sits down with me in this episode to answer questions about the lessons, the experiences, and the wisdom that he learned through those years of being a monk. A truly marvelous episode.
Being aware is a big part of it, and that can be easier or hard. And again, it depends on preparing for meditation, and that's one thing that Vipassana is all about, our mindfulness. Vipassana is the Sanskrit word for mindfulness, and that's something you can practice all day long. You don't have to set aside time for this. Being aware, which means that you are simply aware of where your awareness is, and if it's where you don't want it to be, then you have no reason why you can't move it.
Yeah.
You know, if you find awareness floating into anger, there's no reason in this world why you have to stay there. You can move it. And that's the big discovery. One of the first discoveries of the practice of meditation and this ultimate sense of yoga is that you don't have to be where you find yourself to be. In other words, awareness can be controlled by the world, or you can be in control of awareness. So you have the choice.
Exactly.
Who's in control? You know, that's the question to keep asking yourself. If somebody drives you in a conversation, if they drive you into a state of anger, what's happened? You've allowed your awareness to be pulled into the city of anger inside. And in the city of anger inside yourself, anger is all there is. But there's no reason why you can't move awareness out of that city. I mean, if you drive into San Francisco and you don't want to be in San Francisco, there's no reason why you can't just get in your car and drive away.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, it's up to you, you know.
You can't control what life throws at you, but you can control how you react to it.
That's it. You got it. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And that's the whole training of yoga, you know, is first of all, being aware where you are. That's the awareness part. So if you're aware of being in a place that you don't want to be, then the next step is move, you know?
But it's understanding that that's actually something that you can do, because a lot of people don't know that you can actually move your thoughts to somewhere different.
Yeah, exactly.
It has been mentioned by many psychologists that our next big public health issue could very well be loneliness. For many reasons, I found it vitally important to explore the topic of loneliness here on the podcast. And who better to do it with than the host of The Lonely Hour, a podcast that explores the feelings of loneliness and aloneness, Julia Bainbridge. For anyone struggling with loneliness and seeking deeper answers, this episode is perfect for you. There are many articles being written about loneliness and how, like you said, it might even be our next public health issue. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts upon this, and why do you feel so many people are experiencing loneliness more and more often these days? And it might be very obvious, but it's sometimes very good to still hear it.
No. I think there are a lot of things going on, but I basically think it has to do with the changes in the ways we're living our lives, basically. You know, I mean, I think, as we said before, there are more people living alone into a later age, and that means the tribe is not the same. You know, you have all these alternative ways of having families, and I think that's so great in some ways, but I also think all of this sort of experimentation with that is new, and that means that during that transition time, there's sort of discomfort and sometimes sadness that comes from that discomfort as we sort of figure it all out. But, you know, it used to be that you would like live in your hometown, and you had your own parents across town who could help raising your kids when you had them. And there was this little tribe of people. And now we're sort of all, we live these kind of global lives.
Yeah.
I remember applying to colleges. You know, I grew up in Maryland, and it was, people went to college all over. Some people went out to Stanford in California. Some people went to, you know, school in Boston. Some people went over to Edinburgh, you know, and that nobody questioned that. Whereas maybe a generation or two ago, why would you want to go across the country for college? You know, it was like you just stayed closer to home. And while that's great, and I think like our experiences, one might argue, are richer for having sort of having cast a wide net and having this sense of adventure, I think it also, from the home standpoint, can leave us with some things to grapple with, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's that piece. And I also think technology, you know, like it has great potential to bring people together. And it has already fulfilled some of that potential. I think of my brother who lives on the West Coast Skyping with my grandmother so that she can see her great grandson. Without that real-time face-to-face interaction, my grandmother would only see Jack once a year at Christmas, and she wouldn't know him as well. And that would make her sad. And it would also be a loss for baby Jack too, to not know his elder family members. And he would likely feel that loss later in life. Right. Mm-hmm. But still, that's a band-aid solution. Like, you know, we need to think about the root of this growing sense of loneliness we seem to be experiencing and tackle it there. So the way I see it, Skype and FaceTime and the like have been developed to reestablish connection in a world in which much of it has been lost for various, you know, one of the reasons I cited before, but there are others, you know, like we have longer work days and commutes, right? We no longer have the tribe. The societal pressure to get married and have children has lightened. So we're living alone and single deeper into our 30s and beyond. The elderly are living longer, but retiring at the same age. So there's more idle time, and they're likely not spending it interacting with their families, but in nursing homes or other kinds of age specific communities, mm-hmm. you know, to which they've been kind of shuttled off. So the point is, we're making some big changes in the way we live our lives that may prove to be deeply unhealthy, and no amount of Facebook Messenger or robot friends or whatever else developers think of will fix it. There is no stand-in for that human, you know, flesh-to-flesh.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Interaction. And that's not something that I've just made up. That's something that psychologists like Sidney Engelberg, who was on season one of the show, he's a psychology professor in Tel Aviv, has, you know, studies to back that up, that it's just not a stand-in for real human contact.
If it wasn't for travel, I wouldn't be here anymore. Travel literally saved my life. Here in this episode, I share my story of the journey I took from being at the low point of wanting to give up on life into the changes and the lessons I came to witness from traveling around the world for 3 years. A great episode, and one that hopefully inspires and helps others to venture into the world as well. I was stuck for 6 years inside a belief that was created by the place that I lived in, my room. And what my room had taught me throughout those years was this: all there is in life is this tiny room. This is exactly what many of us experience in our lives. It is just that my bedroom is substitute for another space, another bubble, another trap, another prison. It may come in the form of a job, a relationship, the town or city you live in, the friends you have. The restrictions you and your life create dictate and define the way you behave and ultimately the person you become. Removing yourself from the familiar and opting for the unfamiliar opens up the unknown. And within the unknown, there are questions we have never asked ourselves, experiences we have never imagined, lessons we have never had a chance to learn. What we ultimately need when we are stuck within a bubble is change. Another perspective of seeing and knowing what is possible. Traveling will open that up for you. The world will play its role. All you need to do is pack your bags and allow it to happen. In this episode, two of the most famous people in the world of travel blogging took the time to sit down with me and answer some questions. This inspiring and insightful episode with Dave and Deb, the founders of the multi-award-winning travel blog, The Planet D, is one filled with wisdom and lessons about the deeper insights travel can bring into a person's life. You both have achieved a lot of things with The Planet D and have even earned some incredible awards with it. However, this journey you two took in building this travel blog, The Planet D, it's not as easy as many people might think. And I'm sure a lot of people, when you tell them what you two do, will, I don't know, will call you guys lucky or something along the line that they would love to do this too. But many times not understanding the actual facts, what it takes to build this all out. Starting this career as travel bloggers, what were some of the hardest moments building The Planet D out that you feel not many people realize is part of it?
I think some of the hardest things is the amount of time spent not just producing content, but actually marketing yourself and getting out there in front of people. And I think that doesn't happen magically. I mean, back when we started, you know, there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't we're really doing a bunch on Facebook. Yeah, there wasn't Facebook pages or anything like that. Really, the thing we started on was Twitter and getting ourselves out there, because that was sort of the only social media platform that likened itself to what we were doing. So, and we would spend hours a day on Twitter, like just. And I remember Deb going, "Am I just wasting my time? Is that, you know, am I yelling into an echo chamber and there's nobody there? You know, yeah. Is anybody listening to me?" And you know, we continued to push forward without a lot of feedback coming back. And I think that sort of perseverance and spending hours a day on this while we were working full time in the movie business, trying to build it, plus writing articles. You know, before we even were really, you know, building anything, we were putting in probably 40 hours a week trying to build and market the business. Yeah. You know, it's the time factor included, I think, is something that is really brushed over when it comes to travel blogging. You know, I would say nowadays, you know, we work 80, 90, 100 hours a week to run our business. Plus we have people working for us. So, I mean, there's it's constantly evolving and there's so much time involved. And a lot of people think, oh, well, it's just magic. I'll put something up on Facebook, or I'll put something up on Twitter or Instagram and people will like it and will magically come. No, there's a process and a plan behind everything.
And plus, patience is such a big thing too. I mean, it takes time to build anything out, and it's hard. It's really hard to have the patience sometimes to see it being developed through time, but it's important.
I think, yeah, patience is really important. And I think in this day and age of social media,
oh, yeah,
that people don't have the patience. We were lucky, I think, because we had no choice. We had patience. But now people are trying to do all those quick fixes and black hat methods, and it's not going to work that way. They need to take their time and build. And if you develop that voice and that unique voice and interesting angle, people will eventually start taking notice.
And we had a plan, you know, like we knew that we decided that we were going to be on the road for 5 years to develop content and be out there and get the experience to call ourselves travel experts. You know, there's so many people out there that they take a 1 year trip around the world and consider themselves travel experts.
Or there's people that are just taking a 1 week sponsored trip and saying they're travel experts.
Exactly. it takes time to build up expertise. It's not something that is just handed out. You know, in order to call yourself an expert or be a trusted source, you have to have the experience to do that. And that in turn takes time.
Brace yourself for a very compelling episode with an example of what human bravery and strength looks like. Martin Ederbitzen, a neuroscientist, cancer survivor, triathlete, and founder of My Survival Story, sits down with me and talks about the lessons he came to learn of the hardships from fighting a rare kind of pancreatic cancer. A truly beautiful episode filled with lots of life lessons and takeaways that can be used in all of our lives. So somewhere along the line, when you were being treated for cancer, you made a decision while being treated to sign up for a triathlon. Now, I first of all would like to ask, where did this thought or that idea came from to run a triathlon?
At the time of my first treatment, my brother was just starting with triathlon, like as a hobby. And I went once to a race of him. I was like, wow, that's cool. And I was always a good swimmer. I was in the swim club and biking and running. I mean, that's fun. So I think the whole idea came from his inspiration. But then the decision to actually sign up for it was coming in the hospital while I was connected actually to the chemo.
That's crazy.
Yes, it was a kind of, a counter reaction, because in the place I got the chemo, there were like a lot of people and they talk with each other. And one guy had not such a good day and he was like complaining a lot. And then one moment he asked me like, hey, do you know what I really wish? And of course I had no idea. And so he told me that he wants to die in peace. And you can imagine, like, sitting in a hospital and fighting for your life. That's not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like, I was asking myself, so what do I want? And for me, it was clear, I want to live. So it was a kind of a counter reaction to this interaction with this man that I said, okay, I picked up my phone and I signed up. And I think it was one of the best decisions I've ever done in my life.
Definitely.
Actually.
How much do you feel that setting that goal of running a triathlon helped you with this whole process in fighting cancer?
I think it changed everything, like mentally. Like suddenly it was not about surviving the chemo or so. It was like, okay, how can I get ready for this race? And so I was shifting the focus from being like the victim or the patient to being somebody who wants to achieve something. And it changed my whole mindset, how I approached it. I mean, of course, during the chemo, I couldn't do much, but just in the mind, it was clicking something, yeah.
There we have it, everyone. Another 5 bullet point episodes. I hope you all enjoyed it. And of course, don't forget to listen to the full episodes to gain the in-depth content from the interviews. You can find links to the full episode in the description of this podcast. With that, thank you just so much for listening here to the Inner Picture Stories podcast. I very much appreciate you taking the time to listen to and absorb some of these lessons and wisdom our guests had to share. I hope to have you join me on another episode of the Inner Picture Stories podcast soon. Until then, this is Jelis Vaas, signing off. Until next time, guys.